So Dr. Summerall told me, we're having lunch one day in South Bend, and he said to me, I was invited to speak to an anthropology class at Notre Dame University. Wow. Now, Notre Dame is in South Bend. Right. Very prestigious Catholic university there in South Bend. And he said, when I walked into the room, the professor who was hosting the class said, Dr. Summerall, I want you to know that everyone in this room believes that we descended from monkeys. That was his introduction. Dr. Summerall, quick as a wink, said, well, you know, it's not nearly as important where you came from as where you're going.
Amen. Amen.
It's about today, my friend.
Yes,
thank God for the experience you had years ago. But what about your experience now? Okay?
Amen.
He had a relationship.
Yes, sir.
He had an experience.
Amen.
Very good.
He had something else. He had the name of Jesus.
Come on.
He was all good.
Jesus gathered his disciples together one night and said, before now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive so that your joy may be full. Now they had seen him ask. They had heard him cry, Abba, Father. But they had never asked in his name. He was giving them the power of attorney to use his name. He was giving them the divine right. Now I know my wife Lindsay is watching this program. And I've told this story before. When we got married on the 11th of January, which is our 44th wedding anniversary, is next week. I know I don't look old enough, I've been married 44 years, but I have been. And we'll be married 44 years next Thursday. When we got married, she took my name. That's the custom in America. She took my name. She was Lindsay Salem, who was born in Flint, Michigan, and transferred to Florida as she got into high school, and then moved to Tulsa to go to law school, and we met and we got married, and she was no longer known as Lindsay Salem. She took my name. She became Lindsay Roberts. And very quickly, she learned how to use my name on checks, on credit cards. She knew how to use my name. And it didn't matter whether I was with her physically or not. She could use my name. And it was just like I was standing there next to her because I gave her that right to use my name. Jesus has given us his name. He said, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive so that your joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory, so that your joy may be full. How many of you want your joy to be full today? I don't want a half full cup of joy. I want the whole cup of joy. I want it overflowing in my life because I've got a relationship and I have an experience and I've got the name. Peter said, such as I have. What did he have? He had the name.
Yes.
The name of Jesus, whose name is above every name, name in heaven and earth. You name any name, and the name of Jesus is above it.
Come on, yes.
His name is higher than cancer.
Yes.
His name is higher than diabetes.
Yes.
His name is higher than hypertension.
Yes.
His name is higher than arthritis.
Yes.
His name is higher than COPD. His name is higher than blindness and cataracts and glaucoma and deafness and intestinal problems and colon problems and pancreas problems. His name is above every mass, every tumor, every growth. His name is above. We have a name. And at that name, every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. He had the name. But he had one more thing, friends. He had the authority to use it. He had the authority. Are you aware of the authority that Jesus has given us? He said, behold, I give unto you authority, power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. He wasn't talking about spiders and snakes. He was talking about enemies. I give you authority. He did not say everything you pray for is going to be healed. He said, no, it's going to be subject to your authority. Or in other words, it's going to take two to tango. You're going to need somebody to set their faith with you. Now, a lot of times I pray for people and they just sit there and they just, well, okay. If you can do anything. Don't be like that. That's what that man was like with his demon-possessed boy. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, after that a great experience with Elijah and Moses appearing, and Peter, James, and John being wiped out, they didn't know what to do. They had to hide behind a rock. And when they got down into the valley where most people live, most people don't live on the mountaintop. They live in the valley. When they got down to the valley, the man said, well, I tried. Your nine disciples tried. They couldn't do anything for my boy. If there's anything you can do. And Jesus said, it's not if I can do anything, it's if you can believe. Yeah. You got to have someone to go into an agreement with you. Yes. An agreement takes at least two. Yes. You can't have an agreement with yourself. He gave them the authority and the power. And Jesus, of course, said to the man, well, yes. Yes, I have the authority and the power, but do you believe? And the man said, well, I do believe. But I have this one little area that I'm having trouble with. And isn't that the story of many of us today? We believe, but we got this one little area. Right. We got this one little pocket.
Preaching good. Come on.
Doubt. Yeah. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me in that one area that I'm struggling in.
Yes, sir. Yes.
I've got an area like that. You've got an area like that.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You better tell the truth and honor the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You know you do.
Yes,
every one of you, you got a little pocket there, somewhere in there, somewhere in there. It just,
yes, sir.
It's just like a pocket. It's just dangling out.
Yeah.
He said, help me in that area. You know, Jesus, he's so merciful. When we just admit it and we get that out of us and we say, now, Lord, I got to have help in this area. I've got to have help. I've got to have help to do what God's called me to do.
Yes.
Pastor Nancy has to have help.
Yes.
Pastor Craig has to have help. Pastor Jay, he's got to have help. Pastor Chris, got to have help. Pastor Mitch, got to have help. But God didn't call you to do it all by yourself. That's why he sent us the Holy Spirit to be your helper.
Yeah. That's it. Hallelujah.
Not only to be with you, but to be in you.
That's right.
He had authority. He had the authority, and Jesus took that authority, and he commanded that to come out of that boy, and that boy was healed. I want you to know something. Peter and John did what you and I are called to do. We look at Peter and John and we put them up on a pedestal. Is there some type of great person? Well, a little bit later in the scripture, you'll find that they said they saw that they were ignorant men.
Yes.
They didn't go to Stanford.
Right. Right. Yeah.
They didn't go to Harvard.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello.
Amen. Preaching good. Come on.
They haven't been to a place where they've been indoctrinated.
Right. That's right.
In the wrong things. They haven't been to places that have gone away from their founding.
Right. Come on. Come on. Amen.
And that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
No. No, no. It said they learned, they were unlearned, but they had been with Jesus. Peter and John had the same thing that you and I have. If you just exercise what you got.
Yes.
He said, such as I have,
such as I have,
I give unto you.
Amen.
And he reached out his hand and said, in the name of him whose name is above every name named in heaven and earth, rise up. And Peter started him by lifting him. But about the time he started to lift him, the healing power of God hit him in his feet and legs. Someone's got to get into an agreement with your prayer.
Yeah. Amen.
I was preaching for Brother Blair years ago, Charles Blair in Denver, Colorado. And there was a woman who was wheeled down the aisle in a wheelchair, sitting right here next to where Pastor Debbie would be. And in the healing service, I was praying for people, and all of a sudden the Lord said, tell her to start moving her finger if that's all she can do. And I'm sure there were those in the crowd that were thinking that's a very cruel thing for Richard to do, to tell someone in a wheelchair just to begin to move one finger. And I watched her, and she just started doing this. And I prayed for others, and I looked at her, and she was doing this. And I prayed for others, and I saw her doing this. The next thing I knew, I saw the wheelchair was empty, and she was walking across the front.
Amen. Amen.
I had to get her into action. Peter reached out his hand. He was saying, give me your hand. And when he did, the power of God came this way and also came this way. Did you know the power of God can move two ways at the same time? It can move down, it can move up. The power of God came this way and hit him this way. It was a double whammy. So much so that the man leaped to his feet and began to praise and worship God and went into the temple with them. And the religious leaders went berserk. They didn't know what, in fact, the world does not know what to do with the power of God. They put him in hold until the next morning. It took them the next morning to figure out what they're going to do with him. Finally, they called and said, we can't deny that a notable miracle has been done. But we're telling you, don't do this again. Don't teach or preach in this name. Now, that's what the devil wants you to stop. He didn't care how many you have in Sunday school. He didn't care how many buses you run.
Come on.
Devil didn't care. He didn't care what social programs you have out in your community. The devil couldn't care less about that.
That's right.
As long as you leave out the name.
That's it, sir.
He said, don't teach, don't preach in that name. Peter said, whether it's right to listen to you or listen to God, you be the judge. But we cannot stop from speaking the things which we have seen and heard.
Come on.
He had a relationship. He had an experience. He had the name of Jesus, and he had the authority to use it. Now, Peter did not have anything that you and I don't have. Well, that begs the question then, why isn't it operating in my life? It's because you haven't decided to allow it to operate.
Amen.
There's nothing special about Peter. As a matter of fact, Jesus picked him because there was nothing special about him. He was a man full of doubt. He was a man full of fear. He was a man full of worry. And yet Jesus picked him. And Jesus has picked you. He has selected you, and he hasn't selected just those of you who minister in the pulpit.
That's right.
Because he said, you shall lay hands on the sick.
Amen.
And they shall recover. And when you think of sickness, don't think it only as physical.
That's right. No, it's spiritual.
One of the biggest physical or spiritual needs today is mental wellness. Depression, discouragement. People that are lost. They're in a vacuum out there. They've come out of a world system that isn't working. They don't know where to turn. And they've turned to drugs, and they've turned to all the pleasures of the world, and they don't know what to do, and they need someone to show them. And you and I are called to be that purpose, that person.
Yes.